see, take the limits off. Amen. Praise God. And where we left off is addressing what I call enemies of our freedom and victory. Now, everybody say freedom and victory. Freedom and victory is God's plan and will for every believer. Did you know that? If you didn't, you're about to find that out. You know, so many people live and die and understand, even as believers, that God may be good, that they've heard people say that God loves them. They even know John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But they really aren't convinced that God loves them. They don't maybe tell people that, but how they live doesn't reflect a loving God in their lives. Nonetheless, one of the reasons that is because they've never been taught that freedom and victory were not designed to be the end goal of heaven. We are to experience that here in this earth. Although we live in a fallen world and there will be tests to all of our faith, temptations and all those things, Jesus Christ came so that we could win the victory over all those things. Amen. And so freedom and victory are both the will of God and the plan of God for every believer. Everybody say every believer. I want to prove this to you really quick today in John 8. Let's go through this really quick. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, here's what it says. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, everybody say continue. If you continue in my word, that means this is conditional. The word of God is conditional. In other words, what God would do, God tells us what he does, but many times there is not only a Godward side of what he would do, there's a manward side of how we can receive those things. So it says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So notice the part that it says knowing and continuing in the truth is going to produce the freedom in our lives. Next, we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Notice it says always, not sometimes. It's God's will that we always triumph in Christ. But many times, yes, people have defeat. People have things come against us. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't God's will for us to triumph. In other words, that means if we're going to triumph, there's going to be things to triumph over. Come on. And we have to learn to do that. The key here for our victory and our freedom is if we walk in Christ. Notice, triumph in Christ because of our unity, our identity, our inheritance, and what we can do because we are in him. Once again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it tells us, knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The reason we're more than conquerors because Jesus conquered death, sin, and the grave. Amen. And his victory becomes our victory. We're more than conquerors. We just step in what he's done for us and receive it. Can I get an amen? It's all through him. Last but not least, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says that whatsoever is born of God, you could say it like this, but whoever is born of God, because whoever's are born of God. In other words, when you get born again, that's how you get born of God. You get born again, amen, and they overcome the world or this world system. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So our freedom and victory that is both a part of God's will and plan for every believer, the way we get that is through our faith. Can I get an amen? So naturally, we've been talking about these enemies of our freedom and our victory. And today's message for all of you that are taking notes, which I encourage you to do, is entitled this, Four Enemies of Faith. Four Enemies of Faith. Up to this point in this series, we've looked at two of those enemies, and we're going to look at two more of them today. But to briefly recap for all those, because we have quite a few visitors today, and I think we should put our hands together for them again. Praise God. And how many know It's what you continue to hear is how of God's word. That's how faith comes. So it's all right to take a moment to recap the two points or the two enemies of our faith. And we want to begin by slide number one. The enemy number one was deception. You know, let me say this. I haven't said this, but let me say it like this. If you don't understand as a believer spiritual warfare, then the devil has you just where he wants you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, unfortunately, many believers read this, and I don't think they get the import of it. In other words, notice here where it says the rulers of the darkness of this world or this world system. In other words, they're spiritual wickedness and rulers that are ruling in the unseen realm. The Ben Campbell Johnson translation of this verse says, "Our real struggle or problem isn't with other persons, but the invisible forces that shape life on this earth." I don't think it could be said any better. In other words, behind the scenes, there are evil spirits that are influencing mankind, and they work to steal, kill, and destroy. The good news is, if we as believers understand that, we also understand that there's God and the Holy Spirit and a legion of and a multitude of angels that are working on our behalf as well. And we need to realize this, but Satan is actually the one behind all deception. And that's his number one power. For the believer in Christ, he has to deceive us. The devil has to deceive us in order to defeat us. And so we have to understand that the enemy, we have an unseen enemy called the devil, and he works, number one, through deception. So what is our answer to overcome this? Well, the answer is, we found, anybody know what it is? It's the Word of God. Amen. We must know the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalms 119. We're going to look at a different verse here, but it's very powerful. Psalms 119 and verse number 4 and number 5. And this is why the Word is our answer. How we're going to overcome deception and the snare of the devil is by knowing the Word of God and applying it to our life. It says, verse 4 says, "Through thy precepts," how many know that be the Word of God, "I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." The truth is, when you have spiritual understanding of God's Word, you begin to side in with God. You understand that if the words call something sin, you call it sin. If it calls it wrong, you call it wrong. You understand through the precepts or through God's Word, you understand what is good for you and what is bad for you. Amen. And make no mistake about it, God didn't put it in there to confuse us. He put it in there for our freedom and our victory. And in order to be free and walk in victory, we're going to have to know the truth. And that's where his precepts come into our life. We get understanding. "For thy word," verse 5, "is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path." How many know the Word of God is what enlightens us and gives us direction? In other words, it is the way that we're to walk in. We can walk and live by the Word of God. And that's how we overcome enemy number one. Enemy number two that we looked at is the lack of knowledge. In other words, lack of knowledge or ignorance of God's Word. What we don't know is killing us. God didn't call us to be ignorant spiritually. I know people get offended when you use the word ignorant, but listen, there's a whole church world that's Bible illiterate, and it shouldn't be. God lets us know that enemy number two is a lack of knowledge. This is why we must know the Word of God. In Hosea 4:6, it lets us know my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5, verse 13, the Amplified Translation says, therefore my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it because they have no knowledge of God. Listen, there's so many people that are enjoying sin. And the Bible says there's pleasure in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 11. It says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But what we fail to realize is that the enemy is setting us up for a great fall. Sin, the reason God hates it is because, number one, it separates us from God. Number two, it works to kill us and leave us without God. And see, what happens is without the knowledge of God, or we could say it like this, because of a lack of knowledge, we actually go into captivity to our enemies. How many know sin is the enemy? How many know sickness and disease is the enemy? How many know poverty is an enemy? How many know oppression, depression, fear? Come on. Worry, doubt. All those things that many times people pacify and say, well, I can't help it. I can't help myself. This is just part of life. No, it's not. It is part of life, but it is not how God wants us to live. And many times we go into captivity to our enemies without even knowing it. You hear people talk all the time, well, I can't help but worry. What do you mean you can't help but worry? If you are a believer, we're to cast all our care upon the Lord. We're not to fret or have any anxiety about anything. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted with it, but it means that we're not to live in it. We're to live above it. The reason we go into captivity to the things of this world, just like the world does, come on, believers go into captivity without even knowing it because they do not know the Word of God, and because of this very point, this lack of knowledge. And the devil deceives people into thinking, oh, you don't need the Word of God. You don't need the Word of God. Oh, you don't need to go to church. You especially don't need to go where that preacher's a loudmouth and he talks about things that I talk about the Word of God. Your answer and my answer. Come on, let me tell you something. I'm not telling you something that I don't have to live in and that I haven't experienced in and know what I'm talking about here. Because I would be a basket case and probably in hell today if it wasn't for the saving knowledge of God and His Word. So this is so important for us. So we found the answer to this is actually knowing God's Word again. Everybody say God's Word. The answer to all of these enemies is knowing God's Word. And here's something that I want to remind us about in our lives. Many times people wonder, they wish that God worked in their lives. They wonder, how does God work in this world? Let me tell you how God works in this world and how He works in your life. If you want to put God to work in your life, He works in our lives through knowledge. What we know and believe about Him. That's how God works in this earth. He works through knowledge. What we know and believe about Him. It's knowing and doing the Word. That's what faith is. Faith unlocks God's power in and through us, or loses the power of God to work in our lives. Can I get amen? All right. Now, let's look at the last two enemies that we'll deal with today. Enemy number three. Are you ready for it? I said, are you ready for it? It's called rejected knowledge. Enemy number three. Slide three, please. Rejected knowledge. Where do we find that in the Scripture? Listen, I'm not telling you something that the Bible doesn't say. Everything that I'm telling you, if it's not founded on the Word of God or the Bible, then throw it out. I'm not telling you my opinion. My opinion just like yours. We all have one, but it doesn't count when it's all said and done. If we want freedom and we want victory over our enemies, we're going to have to know one thing, and that is the truth. And truth is not something. Truth is someone, Jesus Christ, and what he said. In other words, that's why the Word of God is true. So let's look at this enemy that is called rejected knowledge. Once again, turn back with me to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Matter of fact, we're going to find the last two enemies that we're going to talk about in this very verse. And so, notice, we already looked at the second enemy, and that is a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And notice it says, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. Notice, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. You know what? A lot of times people say, well, that ain't love. Well, God will give you what you want. Amen. And so when we reject the knowledge of God, God won't force himself on us. This is why it's so important that when we hear the Word of God, we do not harden our heart. We don't reject it. We don't push it off. We don't put it off to another day to say, what am I going to do with this? This is so important because we must understand this is how the enemy works in our life. He works that we reject the knowledge of God. This is not just any knowledge. This is the knowledge of God. Notice it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. In other words, God's word, I will also reject thee. So let's look at this today. It is, you know, first of all, it's one thing to not know the Word of God. I mean, that's lack of knowledge. It's a whole nother thing to know it and reject it or refuse to believe it. Having to know, that's very dangerous. And we find this throughout the Scripture. Matter of fact, you can't read the Old Testament. You can't read the Old Testament without seeing Israel as a nation and people in it repeatedly rejecting the knowledge of God. So what I want to do is give us a brief lesson as we look at this. Remember, in taking the limits off of Psalms 78:41, it lets us know that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. And we don't want to limit God. Well, these are ways we limit God. We find that when we reject what God has said, we limit his entrance in our life. We limit what he can do in our life, not because he's not God, but because he doesn't go where he's not wanted. Regardless of what people think in the religious world, they say, well, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. His sovereignty, listen, in his sovereignty, it means this. He limited his own self by his own word. He will not violate his word, and he will not violate your free will. Listen, let me give you an example of this, very practically and yet very real. You know, a lot of times people say, well, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. No, he can't. He can't lie. Come on. He can't make you go to church. He can't make you love your wife. He can't make you love your neighbor. There's a lot of things that God can't do because he said in his word what he would do and what he wouldn't do. And when it comes to his sovereignty, he's bound himself by his own words. What do you mean by that? By what he said he can and cannot do. Even though it's God's will for all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, all people won't be saved. Not because God doesn't will it, but because man rejects the only way of salvation, and that is acceptance through Jesus Christ. So this is why this rejected knowledge becomes are so great of a problem, because people could come and sit in church week after week, or they could be in the marketplace and you witness to them, share them. They reject everything you said about Jesus Christ. That God won't violate that. I say God won't violate that. Even though it's not his will that they reject that to be saved, but he won't make them love him. He, in his goodness, will let you have what you want. And if you want him, then let me tell you, it's too late when we stand before the pearly gates and say, let me in. You don't belong there. There's no relationship. Just think about what would happen if somebody showed up at your door. You're a Christian. You are a nice person. You're a loving person. But somebody shows up at your door this afternoon, knocks on the door, doorbell rings, and you see the U-Haul backing up to your door. You open the door and said, "We're here." And you say, "Well, who are you?" "Well, we just moved from Arkansas." No offense to Arkansas. "We just moved from Arkansas. We saw this house, and we were looking for one, and we figured we'll move right on in." Now, let me tell you something. You may be a Christian, but let me help you for a moment. Let me help you for a moment. You ain't got to pray about this one. If you don't know them, I don't think so. You got the wrong house and a wrong address. Okay, you might want to just shut the door and dial 911. Because they claiming squatter's rights, just like the devil will do to you. Now, you say, "Well, I thought you were Christian. I saw that cross on your mailbox. Why don't you let me in?" Well, it's the same way of heaven. The reason why I'm not inviting you in is because there's no relationship. And the reason we can't wait till we die to and stand in the pearly gates and say, "Oh God, here I am, let me in," after we rejected Him all of our life. Come on. The reason why He won't let you in is not because He don't love you, it's because there is no relationship. And that's how we get to heaven. Not because we're good people, but because we have a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. All right, so in this, one of the examples that we're going to give is a story that we'll find in the book of Numbers, and it's recorded also in the book of Deuteronomy. But before we do that, let's read in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, let's turn there for a moment and just talk about, as we talk about rejected knowledge and see what the Scripture says about this. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you all right in here today? Praise God. If you don't understand me because I talk fast and a little funny, praise God, come next week. Amen. And anyway, praise the Lord. So we begin with verse 7. You're there, Hebrews chapter 3. "Therefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice," how many know His voice is His word? See, a lot of people say, "I ain't heard God's voice." Well, you hear His voice by hearing His word today. "Today, if you hear His voice or His word, harden not your hearts." In your Bible, write, "Reject not His word in your heart." That's what that means. "As in the provocation." In other words, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This is talking about what the children of Israel did. We're going to explain it in just one moment. It's what the children of Israel did with Moses and God, and as they rejected the knowledge of God that Moses brought to them. "And when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and say, if they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. And so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore take heed lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Evil heart of unbelief rejects God's. Unbelief and doubt always rejects God in His word. And notice it called an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now this is a great overview of the children of Israel that sinned against God for 40 years in the wilderness. That generation passed away, died in the wilderness before they could enter into the promised land. How many know that God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that "I'm going to get you to go into a promised land, to the promised. I have a promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I have given it to you. You just go in and possess it." God gave it. The children of Israel has to go and possess it. But they, because of rejected knowledge, we find that they actually, all those in that generation died without ever going into the promised land. all except two. And we're going to read a little bit from that story today. You'll find, now it would be helpful that you could write this down. You could do your own homework. In Numbers, most of the time, this story is read from this account. For time's sake, I'm not going to read it from this account today. In Numbers 13, verses 25 through 33. Praise God. Now, it would do you well in your time to go back and read that. What we're going to do is read this account from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. So if you will turn there with me, it is recorded here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. The reason I chose to read it from this is because it lets us know a few things in a little clearer fashion. Okay, it goes on in verse 19. It says, when they departed from Horeb, they went through, this is the children of Israel, led by Moses, through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Notice, he gave it to them. But he gave it to them. God is not a liar. He said, behold, the Lord your God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. That's a good word right there. And you came, look at verse 32, and you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we shall send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up into the cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of every tribe. Remember, there's 12 tribes? Amen. So they took the leaders, one from every tribe, and they went in and spied the land. You know the story. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley Eshcol and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Nevertheless, you would not go up. Notice it says, you will not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord our God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hateth us and have brought us forth out into the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. All the excuses why they can't do what God said they could. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the son of Achim's there. They were the giants. And then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. And the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. How many know that God is still fighting for us? He'll fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, he says, you saw how God brought you out of Egypt. What he did before, he's going to do it again. And in the wilderness where thou have seen that the Lord thy God bear thee as a man to bear his son in all the way that you went until you came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Wow. So here, what we see is how, and the rest of the story lets us know, did you know there was only two men? There was of the 12 that went, when the 10 spies gave the you know, what we have on TV today is called the 10 Spy Network. In other words, all the doubt and unbelief, all the propaganda, all the things, why you're going to die early, why you're going to have this, why you're not going to have this, it's all to brainwash you to believe a lie. The 10 Spy Network, and people pay hundreds of dollars to have that piped in every day and listen to it. It's flu season. Oh, Lord, I got to go get my flu shot. I got to do this. I got to do that. Come on. Well, come on, what did God say? Let's believe God, church. Let's believe God. I'm not against doctors, but I am against propaganda and all the lies that many times are propagated against us to make us, to turn us to trust the arm of the flesh Oh, we're going to die. Or if you're not dying, it shows you all the good times everybody's having because they're drunk or getting drunk. Come on. They don't show you throwing up the next morning. Don't show you the DUI. Come on. They don't show you getting arrested. They don't show you, you know, they say, everybody's happy gambling and losing all their money. And then, Lord, if you got a problem, call 1-800-BET-YOU-UP or whatever. You know what I'm saying. Come on. I'm touching some. But if the church don't talk about it, then people, listen, I realize this, that people, they get saved and new to the Lord, they don't know no different. But where are you going to learn the different at? It's supposed to be in church. Not until you're busted and call the church office and say, can I have a meet with the pastor? Well, yeah, okay, so we meet. What's the matter? Well, I don't know what happened. Well, tell me what's going on. I lost everything I got. Well, what are you talking about? You don't know what happened. Well, how'd you lose it? Well, I lost it gambling. Okay. Well, I didn't know it was anything wrong. Most of the world don't know it's anything wrong with that. Come on, they don't. And then, without understanding, people get, I ain't going to that church because they tell you the truth. What you don't know is killing you. And then what we do know and reject, that's what the children of Israel did. So those 10 spies came back and said, God said, even though God said we could possess the land, we say we can't. We saw the giants there. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do that. Then two men stood up, Joshua and Caleb, hushed the people and the crowd and said, hey, wait one minute. We're well able to possess the land. We're well able to go up. Let's go up right now. But the 10 talked the whole congregation, the millions of people, into the doubt and unbelief. You know what it caused them? All that generation for 20 years old up died in the wilderness. Only the younger ones came into the promised land with Joshua and Caleb. Come on. So we see this in this. And so what's the problem? Well, rejecting knowledge is knowing what God has said but refuse to believe it and obey it. God said, this land belongs to you. Go in and possess it. I'm going to go. If you will step and go forward, I'm going to be the one who drives out your enemies. But they wouldn't believe it. They didn't do it. See, this is dangerous when we reject the knowledge of God, whatever it is. It's dangerous, and exactly what the children of Israel did, and it's recorded so we don't do the same type of thing. You say, well, what's your, you know, well, we ain't got no promised land to go in. No, and our promised land, listen, ain't heaven. Because there was enemies in the promised land. So there's no enemies in heaven. You know what our promised land is? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, prosperity, the blessing of the Lord. Come on. All those things are part of our promised land. Come on, what God promised us that we could possess. Every place you tread your foot, your soul upon, given to it as an inheritance. These are all, whatever is our inheritance. But you know what? He would say, well, you know what? I'm saved, and you know, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's rejected knowledge. Pastor talks about healing. We talk about, well, you know, win a few, lose a few. I just don't believe that. Okay, rejected knowledge. Come on, and the list goes on. Whatever is our inheritance, we have to be careful that if God said it, we're not rejecting it. Because it will not go well with us. Oh, my. All right, so let's look at this. Numbers, let's turn to Numbers 13 and read. I told you we weren't going to read the whole story, but let's read verses 31 through 33. But the men, that same story, but the men went up. This is Numbers' account of it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. We're not able to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not able to be healed. We're not able to be blessed. We're not able to get our prayers answered. We're not able. We're not able. God is against me. No, he's not. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Yeah, they are in the natural, but they're not in the spiritual. They're not in the supernatural. Matter of fact, they're not bigger than God. They're not stronger than God. and you brought up an evil report of the land. Don't everybody say evil report. You know what evil report is? The Bible calls evil report rejected knowledge. In other words, it's doubt and unbelief. That's what an evil report is. Whenever we have doubt and unbelief, that's an evil report. We just will sign up for it and say and own up to it so we can repent real quick and get back into believing. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which you have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It went from being a land of milk and honey, and here's their report. It's a land that eats the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. Yeah, they were the giants. Verse 33. And we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Oh boy, I can tell you grasshopper thinking gets you in problems. Come on. So we see here this rejected knowledge is dangerous. And it's exactly what the children of Israel did and is recorded, so we don't do that. You know, all of us, to be honest, all of us at times have had doubt and unbelief on things. All of us have. The good news is we don't have to, because the moment we have the knowledge of God's Word, faith is there. God's Word, with it comes faith. All we have to do is side into it and agree with it. Come on. How does faith come, church? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It has the power to impart faith to you so you can receive God's highest and His best. I know that some of the things I'm talking about you may not have ever heard before, but you know, stick around. It's the Bible, and it was designed for you to have God's highest and His best. Well, Pastor Chris, I have a problem because I know people that have died, and they died of this and they died of that. Sure they did. I know people that did too. But that doesn't mean it's the will of God. I hope you understand, if I died today of a heart attack or something else, I hope you understand that that doesn't change the Word of God one moment. That doesn't change that healing is the will of God and God's plan for our lives. There's a lot of things that happen to a lot of people that, listen, but we have to understand, if it does, it's a real enemy. It doesn't change the Word of God. And if we will just feed on the Word and accept what the Word of God says, then we understand that we can possess our promised land. Come on. I'm helping us. Or trying to. So what's the answer to rejected knowledge? The answer is no, believe and accept God's Word. And you know, the truth is, you only do that if you see it as your answer. You're not going to receive something that you don't see as your answer. And treat it with high regard. You know, honor it. This is why, if we will learn to treat and honor this Word as God talking to us, oh my, oh my. Brother Hagin said, the Word that you get thrilled with is the Word that works for you. Have we got thrilled with it? Psalms 119, there in verse 162, I believe it says, I rejoice over thy Word as one that finds the great spoil. Sometimes I just have to remind myself that. Say, Lord, I just want you to know right now, I found your Word, and I'm going to rejoice over it right now. Lord, I just thank you. I get up and I just start praising Him and thanking Him. Lord, I just thank you for your Word. I rejoice as one that findeth a great spoil. Come on now. If you really thought it was a great spoil and it was worth millions and your answer, then you could rejoice. You could get happy about it. Glory to God. And you say, well, you know what? I can't do that. Well, that's your problem. Come on. See, remember, we either gonna glorify God or we're gonna do without. Remember the story of David when they brought the ark back in, the ark of the covenant back in. Glory be to God into the house of God. It says that he praised. They slew animals. They did all this praise and worship. And his Saul's daughter, who he married, looked out the thing and said, Oh, he done stripped down to his undergarments. He's praising and twirling. And she rebuked him. When they got alone, he led the praise. In other words, his praise was extravagant. His praise was you could say, sometimes faith is ugly. It looks ugly to the world. It looked ugly to her. It always looks ugly to people that are unbelief. And she said, you made a fool of yourself today in front of all the people. And here's what he said. If you think that was foolish, I'm going to be more vile than that. Because my God is so great, I can't help but to praise Him and to give Him thanks and give Him glory. And you know what the scripture says after that? It says that she was barren from that day forward. So let's honor. See, we had to learn to do this. See, I'm more radical today than I was 40 years ago when I got saved. And God understands all that. So listen, we you know what? It's just like starting a new season, in sports. The coach don't go in there and tell you, say, you know what, guys? Here's that goal this year. We're gonna be a 500 team. Woo! We're gonna win half of them. We're gonna lose half of them. No, if they did, then I can tell you they're gonna be calling from the general manager down, and say, we gotta get a new coach. I'm gonna tell you, you got. What is he gonna try to do? They're gonna say, we're gonna win. We're going to, listen, and I'm not giving you some hypothetical. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, but I'm teaching you God's highest and His best. And sometimes, I know, sometimes that steps on people's toes. But I'm teaching you God's highest and His best. And I'm not telling you something we can't have. But I can tell you, we're going to have to possess it, and we just have to realize that there is a fight to faith. It's the fight to stay in faith. It's the stand of faith I take upon the Word of God against all that would oppose me. Let's go and finish up today with an enemy number four. It's called forgotten knowledge. Enemy number four, forgotten knowledge. Forgotten knowledge. Now, let's go back to Hosea 4:6 and find that right here as well. Notice the three kinds of knowledge that we talked about that are enemies. Look at Hosea 4:6. Let's put it back up. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, also to reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to be, seeing that you have forgotten the law of God. That means the Word of God. I also forget your children. So notice here, the last kind of knowledge that there is forgotten knowledge. So this is a dangerous enemy. Let's talk about it for a moment. We've all forgotten things for sure, haven't we? But let me tell you something. The devil works hard to make sure that you forget the things that. Listen, let me say it like this. The devil works hard to get you to remember the things that you should forget, like your past sins and your mistakes. The things that you repented of already, he works really hard for you to remember. But note this, and to forget for the things that you are to remember, like God's word and his promise. He works hard to get you to forget God's word and his promises. Amen. This is why we are told what to do about that, so we don't let things slip. We don't forget. And it's called meditating in the word of God. It means that we continue to think on, dwell on, mutter to ourselves, speak over, think about, imagine the word of God, seeing ourselves in it and it working in us. Come on, seeing ourselves as new creatures, seeing ourselves as the righteous as God in Christ, seeing ourselves as the redeemed, seeing ourselves healed. Come on. Seeing ourselves preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick. Come on. Praying for people and seeing them recover. Seeing ourselves what the Bible says that we can have and what we can do because he lives in us. We're told to meditate on God's word day and night. Why? So that we don't forget what his word says. Let's look at this in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, and his law doth he meditate day and night. How often? Day and night. See, you're going to be listening to something, looking at something. Why not let the word of God, what is the answer, be what's before us. And he shall be, here's what it is, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everybody say prosper. How many know that God does want us to prosper? He wants us to have good success. This is why the counterpart of this is in Joshua 1:8. When God told Joshua to lead those children of Israel, that next generation, into the promised land, here's was his command. He says, this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. That means the word of God shall not leave your life. In other words, you embrace it, shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, that's what you're to be talking. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Notice it says once again, meditate therein day and night. Day and night. Think about to do. Dwell on to do. Imagine to do. See yourself in it. See itself working in that. That's what you have to think about. Meditate, dwell on, take scriptures that speak to you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Have that, memorize that, but meditate on that. What does that mean? You think about that, you dwell on that, you speak that, you learn it, you memorize it, but you let it become revelation to you. And then because it becomes revelation, that's stronger than all the things that come against your mind and all this. And God says, through this way, you'll make your way prosperous. Why? Because now you're not forgetting. When something comes and puts your head where your feet were 2 minutes ago, come on, something, bad news hits you. And you were all built up. You come out of prayer and some bad news hits you. And next thing you know, your head is where your feet were 2 minutes ago. You got to remember what the Word of God says. And you got to think about it. And you got to rise up with the Word of God, just like Jesus did against Satan and said, it is written, and speak what the Word says. And this will happen if you have learned to meditate the Word of God. Why? Because this is how you're going to defeat this fourth enemy, forgotten knowledge. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's talking about our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions. You know, how many know that we are an eternal spirit being? That's who we are. We possess a soul, a mind, a will, intellect, and emotion. And we live in a body. We're a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us that. We're a spirit, we possess a soul, we live in a body, along with other scriptures. But where our problem is, notice he says, there was times the psalmist said, I bless the Lord, oh my soul. In other words, he had to talk to his mind. He had to talk to his emotions. He had to talk to his will. Let me tell you something. If we're going to be successful Christians, you're going to have to talk to your mind. You're going to have to talk to your emotions. You're going to have to talk to your will. You're going to have to talk to your body, too. Come on. Well, Pastor Chris, I ain't never heard of such. Yeah, that's why we're defeated. We got to hear this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on. And what? Forget not all His benefits. Here's two of them. Who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Well, you know what, Pastor? I thank you for telling me that, but I don't believe that. Rejected knowledge. How's that going to work for you? You already saw how it worked for the children of Israel. Not going to work very good. Listen, let's side in with God. Let's agree with God. If we're going to have the will of God, we're going to have to agree with God, who forgives all my iniquities. See, the reason why, let me just say it like this. The reason why more Christians aren't further along, even though they love God, they're saved, is because they still allow what happened in the past, their sins, their mistakes, they allow the devil to remind them. So instead of forgetting them and remembering what God said about forgiveness, they are still living under condemnation of the past. What happened when they're in the third grade, whatever happened in their second marriage, or whatever happened 2 days ago. If you got it under the blood, it's gone. And treat it as such. He forgives all our iniquities. Period. He will forgive them. If you repented of them, got under the blood, it's gone. Don't let the devil make you. I don't know, Pastor Chris. I might slip up again. Yeah, with that thinking, you will. I don't mean that wrongly. I'm saying it so that we realize that we're going to have to say no. When that thought comes, well, I'm going to slip up again. Just say, no, I won't, devil. No, by the grace of God, I resist you in Jesus' name. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am forgiven. Come on. And you have to resist the devil that way. If you don't, you forgot. You either rejected knowledge or forgot the knowledge. But how many know that God is telling us that He who forgives all iniquities, who heals all our diseases, forget not all His benefits. That goes on. That goes on. This is why we're to meditate upon what He says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do. This is also why Proverbs 4:20 through 22 says it like this. It said, my son, attend to my words. Give attention to my word. What does that mean? It means you put it first place. You keep it before you. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to what it says. Hear it. Hear not only yourself say it, but hear it being taught and said, spoken back to you. Let them that depart out of your eyes. You know, a lot of times I minister to some person. I said, you know, I'll go to the hospital somewhere, and I said, well, I can quote this, but I pull my Bible and turn to it. Why? Because the Bible says, let it not depart out of your eyes. Something about it getting in all your gates, your eye gate, your ear gate. Come on. You want it there so it can get in the heart. This is how you keep it in the midst of your heart. Let it depart out of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life. Everybody say life. Life to those that find them and help to all their flesh. Life. That's Zoe life. In other words, that's the God kind of life. God's life is life and medicine or health to all our flesh. That's what God's word is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I forgot that. I know. This is why we're reminded how to do it. That we can't forget what God has said. This is why this word is so important to us, and the devil is working hard for us to forget it, for us to be busy about everything. Listen, we live busy lives. We live in a busy world. But I tell you, it cannot be too busy for you to spend time with God and His word and grow in your relationship. If it is, then you'll lose. And sometimes people say, well, I've been doing that, Pastor Chris, but I still ain't got the victory that God says. Well, keep at it. Ask God where you're missing it at, because He's not. Ask God. I've had to ask God before. God, where am I missing at? Help me to see. And many times it just comes from you really having a revelation knowledge of God's word. See, you can't have my revelation. You got to have, in other words, you got to have it personally yourself. I can tell you what God has showed me and what's real to me, but it has to become real to you. It begins by you hearing it, but it has to be received and say, that's mine. You could be as simple as sitting here today and say, I believe that. I believe what God's word. God, I take that right now. It's mine. It's mine. I take it right now. So what's the answer to the enemy of our freedom, victory, and faith? Well, I can tell you what an answer to this enemy is, just like all the rest. It's the Word of God, and its use in our lives. The Word, the Word, the Word. The Word is our answer. Let's look at this two verses in closing in James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, the Scripture says, if you're only a hearer of the Word and don't do what you hear, you are deceiving yourself. The devil's not deceiving you. You are deceiving yourself. That's what rejected knowledge does. It hears it, but it don't receive it. Not hearers, be doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, look at the blessing of being the doer in verse 25. It says, but whoso will look into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Everybody say continues in. That means do it. And he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Woo! Glory be to God. God is showing us how to be successful. How to, it is by being doers of the word and not hearers only. So it's not just what we know. That's the first step, is what we do with what we know. And this is why it's so important that we assemble together to be, hear these things, so we don't reject these things, and so we don't forget these things. Because dare say there's times that you hear Scripture, hear things, and you say, you know what? The truth is, I forgot about that. Yep, and we all can, but we don't have to. And we have to understand it's many times forgotten knowledge is used as an enemy. Rejected knowledge is used as an enemy. Lack of knowledge is used as an enemy. And deception is used as an enemy. So what's our answer? The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Closing verse, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. What are the two enemies we talked about today? Rejected knowledge and forgotten knowledge. Here's a beautiful portion of Scripture. Many times you hear me quote it where it says, listen to what I'm getting to say before we read it. It is the goodness and kindness of God that leads a man to repentance. The goodness and kindness of God. When you understand God's goodness, kindness, His love for you, it's designed to cause us to repent. Now, listen to Amplified. It says, or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of His kindness and forbearance and long-suffering patience? And are you unmindful? See, that's forgotten knowledge. And actually ignorant. That's, what is that? Lack of knowledge of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind, your inner man, to accept God's will. While actually when we read this, we can understand that these types of knowledge, whether it's forgotten, whether it's rejected, whether it's lack, is right here. When we fail, come on, Betsy, would you help me? When we fail to understand and receive God's kindness, His goodness, His love. When we fail to understand He did all those things that He did through His Son. Listen, God's not mad at us. He loves us. What bothers Him is when we reject those things that set us free, that help us. When we reject His love, then the only thing that's left is judgment. But that's not His will. His will is for us to not be ignorant, to know of His great kindness, of His love to us. Why? Because it was leads us to change our mind about God and how we're living and the things that we do. Come on. And our change our mind and our inner man. In other words, God wants our hearts, church. He wants our hearts. And it's with a heart we actually accept His will that we surrender. We surrender. We surrender. It's a good way to finish today.